This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
FootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
He got game! He get better bet! He got BB!
NFL Insider, Mike Florio.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the score. We love our opportunity to talk to Mike Florio. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Hotline. Michael, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
Morning,
how are Mike? You guys today?
We're fired up, and we are wondering why no one respects the 4-1 Bears. We've heard that they're the worst 4-1 team in the history of the league. I don't know if that's not an overreaction, but they just had their signature victory, and lo and behold, they're underdogs going into Carolina. I mean, are people not paying attention? Super Bears, Super Bowl, no?
But this is good. This is what you want. See, it's a benefit to the coach in two different ways. Number one, it keeps guys from having their heads get too big. And number two, it gives the coach a way to legitimately get them upset, a little chip on the shoulder. So I like that. I think that's one of the ingredients in showing that you can carry it out. Now, this Carolina game looked a lot easier a few weeks ago, but the Panthers have won three in a row, and They almost beat the Raiders, and they weren't embarrassed by the Buccaneers in Tampa Bay. So, you know, this one stands out as a pretty damn good game coming up this weekend. I don't know that I agree that the Bears should be underdogs, but I'm pleasantly surprised with both teams.
Mike, we've got Tuesday night football tonight. We've got the Titans and the Bills, and the NFL has rescheduled 8 games because of COVID, and we saw all of the machinations over the weekend, and it was complicated and hard to follow. Was that a better idea than just adding week 18? How did you balance that decision? And because I'm sure they considered a variety of options.
They're doing everything they can to avoid adding an 18th week. And currently they have a computer model that they press a button when one game has to be postponed, and it spits out all the different ways that they can pull it off and all the different things they have to do. Now, when Steelers-Titans was postponed from week 4, it required just a couple of moves. Moving Patriots hosting the Broncos from week 5 to week 6 required major surgery. And the problem is, once the buys are exhausted for these various teams, there is no option other than an 18th week. Unless you have somebody play 2 games in 1 week, which isn't going to happen, you have to add an 18th week. And then the problem is, once you cross the bridge of an 18th week, you're quickly going to be at the doorstep of a 19th week. And I think the league is trying to wait as long as possible because it doesn't want teams to get complacent and think they've got a buffer. And because of this reality that week 18 is quickly going to become week 19, because all it takes is one team having to have 2 games moved to expand the season yet another week. And it creates issues with the postseason and the Super Bowl and the first round bye. You don't want to have 4 weeks between games. If you earn a first-round bye, there's week 18, there's week 19, there's the wild card round. There's all sorts of issues that need to be worked out, and they want to wait as long as humanly possible to go to that 18th week.
Arthur Blank is a dapper gentleman. He is an immaculately manicured man, and I don't know if he realized what he was saying, but he is quoted as saying that he loves Matt Ryan, much like I love Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff. Does that mean he's going to fire him? I mean, I...
Well, he made it clear yesterday it's going to be a decision that the new regime makes. Now, whether or not the new regime has to pass a litmus test of saying that they want Matt Ryan is a different issue. But the salary cap realities are going to force the Falcons most likely to keep Matt Ryan around. Although, when you look at it, $40 million cap hit to keep him next year, $44 million cap charge to move on, and you save $23 million in cash, there's an argument to be made to just bite the bullet and move on from Matt Ryan and get what you can for him and trade him. But it's going to be a decision driven by the new coach and the new GM. Sometimes a new coach and a new GM, kind of like that redshirt year, where we stick with the guy we really don't want while we lay the foundation for the future, and nobody's really going to hold us accountable for what we do in this first year. So there's a lot of different ways this can go, but this isn't going to be a situation where the owner says to the new coach and the new GM, you must keep Matt Ryan or you must move on from Matt Ryan. And he made it clear Matt Ryan's going to have a voice in this too. Matt Ryan may want a fresh start, which could be a factor in what ultimately happens. So a lot of questions beyond who the coach and the GM are going to be in Atlanta, and a lot of highly paid players who may not be part of that team in the future.
Mike, speaking of coaches who might be in hot water, Mike Zimmer doubled down on his decision to go for it on fourth down yesterday, saying he would do it all over again. I understand the analytics. I understand the math that backs that up. I also understand that when Russell Wilson is on the other side, it may change your mind or influence your thinking, and yet it didn't for Zimmer. What did you think of that?
Yeah, look, at the time, because my son was pestering me, what should they do? What should they do? Should they go for it? Should they kick the field goal? And I saw the rain coming down in Seattle. And, you know, isn't it weird how when you watch a sporting event and it's raining, you really don't see the rain unless it's really, really raining. I mean, you could see the rain, and I'm thinking, well, you know, you missed this field goal. They're going to have the ball in even better field position. But it's Seattle with no fans. And the idea of being able to play the Seattle Seahawks with no fans present, where if you kick the field goal and you make it and you go up by eight, you force Russell Wilson to score two touchdowns. He's got to go down and score the first touchdown, and then he's got to score a touchdown from basically fourth and goal on the two to tie the game. That's what a two-point conversion is. So I think the better course would have been take the three, force them to tie the game with two touchdowns, and then take your chances in overtime. And it's easy to say that because the Seahawks pulled it off, but that's where analytics has to take a back seat to the circumstances. And I believe in understanding all of the permutations and the probabilities, but you also have to understand what's going on in front of you. And when it is Russell Wilson, and not pick a name of a bad quarterback, Daniel Jones, all due respect, you're not Russell Wilson. You know, I don't want to offend anybody.
No,
but,
you're right, though.
You know, Sam Darnold. I mean, you know, if Sam Darnold's got to go 94 yards in 2 minutes, I'll go ahead and go for it. You know?
Context is everything.
Yeah, and Russell Wilson, you're just playing right into his hands. That's the thing. This is what they thrive on. They love this. This is the Pete Carroll playbook. They want that opportunity to rip your heart out and show it to you. So that's why I think that they should have ultimately kicked the field goal. Although in the moment, look, this is why the coaches get paid the money and this is why they're accountable. You got to make that decision in the moment. Sometimes it's not all that easy to make that decision in the moment because you say, oh, we trust my team. I got to have faith in my team. And really, you know, the Gale Sayers saying, just give me 18 inches of daylight. Alexander Mattison had 18 feet of daylight to his right that he just happened to not see. So that was a factor as well in why, yes, the Vikings didn't ice the game.
It seemed like last week Roger Goodell had, you know, rolled up his sleeves. He'd taken his belt off and he was snapping that thing and he was going to let the Titans have it. I mean, he was going to beat them like they owed him money and they were going to owe him money and he was taking draft picks and, you know, the language has stopped and everything's calmed down. Are they getting away with this, the secret practice and who knew what, when and all of it?
Well, it's funny. Last week, there was a very strong sense that the league was going to hammer the Titans because they were telling people, we're going to hammer the Titans. They were telling other teams, we're going to hammer the Titans. And maybe in hindsight, if there is a method to the madness, it's this. They wanted to scare everybody straight. And they wanted to get the other teams to realize no screwing around with these COVID-19 protocols. And I think what's happened over the course of the past few days, and I got to give the Titans credit because it's quite possible they gave the NFL a glimpse of what would happen if they did try to impose dramatic and draconian penalties on the Tennessee Titans. You're going to have appeals in season. You're going to potentially have litigation in season. Do you really want that distraction from football season? I don't know that you do. And I think what the NFL has realized is, you know what? Every team has had issues with compliance. I also think that the Titans have done a good job of convincing the league that the coaches weren't involved with the secret practices that happened, and it's unavoidable because these are guys that are going to do what they're going to do, and they want to stay in shape and they're competitive. And what are we supposed to do? Chain them to their houses? So there's a sense right now that what's going to happen is just nothing. Not that there's going to be an announcement by the league that the Titans had issues and here's what we decided to do and we gave them a stern talking to. No, they're just going to do nothing and it's going to go away and we're going to focus on something else. And one of these days, somebody's going to say, hey, whatever happened to the Titans penalties? And nobody's going to care by then. That there are people in the league now who were convinced a week ago that the NFL was going to kill the Titans who now believe it's just going to die on the vine, which is amazing.
It is amazing. Mike, you're amazing. Thanks a ton. Great catching up with you.
Right,
appreciate
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Mike.
See you.
Good stuff.
That is fantastic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.